Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Do you know how valuable your thoughts are? Do you know how valuable your attention is? Think about that thought for a minute. If you think about how much money companies spend to grab just a few seconds of your attention, it would blow our minds. Social media puts an amazing amount of resources to literally track what we think about, what we look at, what we spend time on. Not just on their social media platforms, but they do everything that is in their power and sometimes beyond what they're allowed to do so that they can track our thoughts, so that they can track our attention, so that they can track our focus, right? Why is that so important to them? It's a basic thing, really. Really, it comes down to this. The more they can learn about what you like, the more they learn about what you like to look at, the more they can know what your interests are. The more they know that, the more they can suggest other things for you to look at that line up with your interests, right? And then they sell your interests to companies who pay them for your attention. That's why, even though Facebook and Instagram are free for users to use, free for us to use, that's why they are an $800 billion company. $780, right around there, billion. Not an M, a B. $1 billion. How can a company who is free to use be worth that much? Because they understand the value of your attention and because they understand how to bring your attention to advertisers who crave your attention. And for that, it's a valuable thing. But the question becomes this: why is our attention so valuable? The answer is a very basic aspect of how God created us. That is this: the more you spend time thinking about something, the more readily you will respond to it. The more time you spend thinking about something, the more readily you will respond to it. And I entitled this message Mind Control for a very specific purpose. Because there are many things that are grabbing for those little bits of control of our mind all the time. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, something is trying to grab focus of, control of your mind. And today we're going to look at exactly how important it is that we are in control of our mind in our daily lives. And what those thoughts should actually be focused on. We should control our minds. God has given us the ability and the power to control our minds, but He also helps us to see on what we should control our minds and our thoughts. This really ties into what Paul has been teaching us over the last couple of weeks, especially last week when he said, hey, listen, let go of your worries and your fears. And put them in your Father's hands. We do that by three ways. You remember? Talking to Him, asking Him, and thanking Him. Those three aspects of making your request known to God. Letting go of things that can control your mind in a negative sense. And give them to the Father. And in that same context, He switches our focus to let go of those things. But grab onto these things. Focus your mind. Focus your thoughts on these things. What are these things? How will they help us in our walk with Jesus as we follow him? Let's take a look at our passage for today, Philippians chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9. We're going to look at verse 8 and then we'll look at verse 9 later. Verse 8 says this. It's a very famous verse, right? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul says to think on these things. He's saying, set your mind on these things. And the emphasis, this is really interesting, the Japanese way of saying it is kokoro tome nasai, which means set your heart on these things. The emphasis, do you see where it's at? It's on the actual setting. It's your decision to choose what to think about. And stop for a second. This is important for us to think about and reflect on for a little bit. God gives us this amazing gift of being able to choose what to think about. That we have access to be able to choose what we think about in our daily lives. This is a part of God's grace to us. It is something that we can control in his strength and in his help. When we choose to think on, when we choose to set our thoughts and our heart on these good things consistently in our lives, this will help us to be more readily responsive to those things, right? This is what Facebook and Instagram are trying to help us to do, right? Hey, set your minds and set your thoughts on these things. Why? So that we will readily respond to them. In the same way, Paul is saying, hey, set your mind on these things. Think about these things so that we can be more readily responsive to the things that help us, good and godly things, things that allow us to be changed into the image of Jesus, things that glorify God as we live our lives among others, right? So let's take a look at these things. What are these things that we should set our thoughts on? And before we look at these things, it's important for us to think of these in a humble and seeking manner. In the context of, as we look over these things, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what things you should be paying more attention to, what things you should be setting your mind on. There are six things that we're going to actually look at. And of course, these aren't the only things, but there are six main things that we're going to look at. So as we go through this, ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate your soul a little bit, to point out things that, hey, these areas are things that you need to be focusing on a little bit more than you have been. And then ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to conform your heart, to conform your mind, so that you can think about these things more readily. And we'll see the importance of this as we continue to study this passage. And as I see this list, I see basically there are six things, and the first four reflect on our inner selves in the context of our heart. How does my heart change into the image of Jesus through focusing on the first four things? And then the last two point to the outward effects of my thoughts, the way that people can visibly see how I display God's glory. So we're going to take a look at these different things. The first four are inward, the last two are outward, and then there's a summary aspect. At least that's how I see this passage of Scripture, okay? Let's take a look. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. What does he mean by true? This has a sense of what is reliable, what is genuine, and what is honest. Basically, true, whatever things are true, describes things that are true in what we think, what we say, what we do. It's literally the same thing that it says, right? What things are true. It's the opposite of false things. It's the opposite of lies. It's essentially saying, listen, what he says is what is going to happen, like the truth aspect of reliableness, genuineness, trustworthy. So instead of focusing your attention on things that promise what they cannot deliver, put your focus on things that are true and trustworthy, is basically what he's talking about here. Focus on things that you can understand to be true and trustworthy. Whatsoever things are true. The next passage says, whatsoever things are honest. What does it mean by honest? This is a sense of whatever is honorable or noble. Instead of focusing on things that take advantage of others or things that twist rules and laws for their own selfish purposes, set your thoughts on what is just and right. That remind us that each person is created in the image of God. So when we talk about things that are honest and things that we should set our attention on, we should think of the justice and goodness and the fairness of God and set our attention on those things, reminding ourselves that each one of us have been created in the image of God. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are... Did I miss just? I sure did. Let's go back to just, because that's just as important too, right? Did I do honest things? Now I'm all confused. Where am I? Can somebody tell me? Am I unjust? Well, that's what just is. Did I say I skipped it? Okay. So we continue on in our... So you know when I said honest things, I really meant just. So let me talk about honest things now, because this is all really confusing, right? Like, how does honesty have anything to do with justice and fairness? It doesn't, so disregard that. So, like, if we can edit out that last couple minutes, that'd be great. So, all right, let's go back. Honest things. What does it mean by honesty? This is where I was like, I really needed to space out my lettering a little bit more here. All right, so let's go. Honest things. This has a sense of whatever is honorable or noble. This is the aspect I was thinking of. Yeah, I knew that. Man, this didn't sound right. All right, so I'm going to read this, okay, because it's really helpful for me to keep my attention where it needs to be. Whatever is honorable or noble. Someone describes this as things that have the dignity of holiness on it. I love that. The dignity of holiness on it. Basically, instead of focusing on things that are flippant, things that are casual, like, you know, mindless stuff, like stuff that has really of no eternal value, instead of wasting your time on things like that, instead focus, set your thoughts on things that display the depths of God's glory. It's this context of being willing to think deeply on noble and high things is essentially what he's talking about. This noble or honorable is essentially what he's describing. Set your thoughts on those things. Think about those things. Take time to dig deep and think deep about things that are glorious and things that are noble, instead of simply thinking about things that are casual and have no real weight in the glory of God. Set your thoughts on deep things is essentially what he's talking about. Honest things, whatever is honorable. And then we come to the just things, which is what I literally just described, where it's talking about justice and fairness. Set your heart on things. And basically, how does this apply to our lives? In my life, as I live my life thinking about just things, do I spend my time thinking about how I am going to live in justness and fairness with those around me? Or do I spend my time thinking about how I can bend the law or bend the rules so that I can take advantage of those rules for my own benefit? Do I tend to think towards pulling things toward my own advantage? Or do I tend to think of things more along the lines of justice? In the same context of honest things, do I spend time thinking about deep things, true things? Do I spend time thinking about, am I reliable? Am I trustworthy? Am I honest and genuine? Do I focus on things that are honest and genuine? Do I put more my thoughts and attentions on what are lies or what are untruths? That kind of aspect, right? Let's continue on. Pure things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. And this is the fourth aspect of inner thoughts, okay? Our inner heart being molded. When we think of purified water, we think of water that has all of its impurities removed, right? There's nothing bad or dirty in the water. It's clean for me to drink. We apply that same context to our character, our moral character. It's about setting our minds on things that are clean and pure. And see, this is so important. When our thoughts are defiled by wickedness, when our thoughts are filled with dirty, immoral thoughts, you're going to respond to that readily. So how do you recover from that? You think on pure things. Not just don't think of bad things, you think on, you fill your mind with whatever is pure, whatever is undefiled, whatever is good and holy. Those are the things that we set our thoughts, set our minds on. And as we do that, what happens is we become more readily responsive to the holiness, to the purity of God's character as Jesus molds our hearts into those very things that we think about. Set your heart on true things, honorable, honest things, just things, pure things. These are inward things, not necessarily things that people may see readily, but they are a part of who we are as our heart is being molded and changed into the image of Jesus. In order for that transformation to happen well, we must be at a point where we can respond well to them, which starts with our mind. What are you putting into your mind? Are you controlling your mind? The second two, have an aspect of external visible responses to how people see you walking and following Jesus and how they respond to that. Whatsoever things are lovely. Things that are lovely are describing things that actually bring out a response of love in others. Things that bring out a response of love in others. Some people, and here's how this works. Some people can have their mind so set on revenge that those around them respond to that in a little bit of fear, in a little bit of, I don't know if I want to be around this person because all they think about is revenge towards something. Right? Or maybe it's a response, a thought of somebody who has their minds set on criticism. Like when I see you, I want to criticize you or criticize what you're doing. And that brings out a response of bitterness, right? If I always responded to Bethany and said, you know, that was really good, but you could do this a little bit better. Or baby, that was an excellent pancake this morning, but the syrup was just a little bit missing there. You could do better. If I continually said that, guess what happens? Bethany would not want to be around me, right? This is the aspect that brings about who we are brings about a response in others. Is who we are, does who we are bring about a response of love in other people? Does how you act bring about that kind of a response? When we, and so here's how we do it. It isn't that we try to get other people to love us. It's all about how we display the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Things like patience, joyfulness, generosity, kindness. These things that display the fruit of the Spirit really well in their lives. And when others see them, it brings about a natural response of love towards those characteristics of godliness, towards that fruit of the Spirit. Things that bring about a response of love in others. Whatsoever things are lovely. And then the last thing, whatsoever things are of good report. This is talking about things that are worthy of being commended by others. When people see that, when people see the things that you're thinking about and those things bring about something in your life that says, hey, this is really good. What this person is doing, I like that. I give it, I think it's a great thing. Basically, if this aspect could be listed on Amazon under the spiritual moral characteristics of a person, it would consistently bring out 5-star reviews. Like if somebody could rate you and how you live and how you act, they would consistently rate it as a 5-star review because, like, this is really good. This is commendable. I think that this is really good, that we should all have that kind of a characteristic. That's what he's talking about, essentially, things that are of good report. Paul, after Paul describes these 6 things, he doesn't isolate it to just these 6 things, though. And this is important for us to understand. This is where we see in the next section here, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue pointing to the heart, if there be any praise pointing to the effect of living out the glory of God in your life, wherever there is virtue in your life, wherever there is something that's praiseworthy, think on these things. There are all kinds of things around us that can help us to mold our heart into the image of Jesus, that can help us to glorify God in how we live out that change in our lives. There are so many ways in which we can change and be molded into the image of God. And as we think about them, we will be more readily responsive to those things. Now that we know what our thoughts are to be set on, it's important to ask, where do we go to set our thoughts on them, right? We know what to look at. Now where do we go to find them? And this is where we find verse 9 helpful. Verse 9 says this, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. This is what he's talking about here. The things that we are to think about, to set our minds on, the best place to look at for them are 2 sources. And these 2 sources are what we learn and receive and what we hear and see. What is he talking about? Learn and receive. When Paul was with the Philippian church, remember, this is Paul talking to the Philippian church, right? And he said, the things that you have learned from me and the things that you have received of me, these things, when Paul was with the Philippian church family and he taught them the scriptures, taught them what it meant to be a follower of Jesus, and then with the things that they received, the letters that they received from him, again, further describing what it meant to be walking as a follower of Jesus, he was constantly showing them and writing to them and telling them what it meant to be changed into the image of Jesus. Paul was showing them waypoints to help them as they followed after Jesus. And so he points them back to what he taught them. He points them back to the letters that he wrote them. He points them to Scripture. One source of being changed, to set your mind on something, is God's Word. Because it will lead you along the path of following Jesus, like a clear map with visible waypoints of what it means to love Jesus with everything that you have and love others around you as Jesus loves you. What you learn and receive, Scripture, it's pointing to Scripture. But also, this is interesting, what you hear and see in me. Paul says, look, what you heard of and see in me. Paul was with the Philippian church family. He spent time with them. They saw how he lived. But not only did they see how he lived when he was with them, they heard about how he lived as he traveled and as he was in prison. This is kind of what Paul was talking about, right? Remember, he says, just a few verses earlier, he was like, I want to know Jesus. Remember, knowing Jesus, wanting to know Jesus and following after him and to be changed by him. Paul was like, I want to know Jesus. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm running as hard as I can, and I'm forgetting what is behind and keeping my focus on Jesus. And I want you to run in that same pattern. So as you guys run, run in that same pattern. Run the same way I run after Jesus. You saw how I ran after Jesus when I was with you. And you've heard about it as I'm even now running to pursue Jesus. Follow that pattern. And so we see that we can follow Jesus through Scripture, and we can follow Jesus through those who are running ahead of us, the race of following, being changed into the image of Jesus. And we can follow that pattern. The things that we are to focus our attention on, the things in verse 8 that mold our hearts and are displayed in our lives, can be found in Scripture and in our brothers and sisters who are running ahead of us. They are not the only places, but they are a great place to look. And why is it important that we set our hearts on these things? Why is it important that we have our minds controlled in this way? Control our minds. Is because the more time, I've said this again, the more time we spend thinking about these things, the more readily we will respond to it. Set your thoughts on them and be ready to respond to what you learn and to what you see. And in doing so, oh, there's one more really important thing that I can't forget. It's one word, but it's a critical word. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. It's not just about watching. It's about responding. Just like James said, right? Don't just be hearers of the word. Be doers of the word. What you see and what you hear, don't like, oh, okay, I'll remember that. That'll be great for some time. No, respond to it. Do it. Follow after. Act upon it. And when we do, what an amazing promise Jesus gives us. And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace. I thought this was so cool. Last time, remember what we looked at last time and just a few verses ahead? When we let go of our worries and give it to God, by asking and or by talking, asking and thanking God, what does God give us? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, right? The peace of God will be there. But as we follow these things, letting go of those things which we ought not to be thinking of and grabbing onto the things that we should be thinking of, God gives us like a bonus promise. Not the peace of God, but the very God of peace. He gives you himself, the God of peace. I thought this was so amazing. The God of peace himself shall be with us. God will not only give us his peace, but he himself, the source of peace, will be with us. What an amazing thought. What an amazing, the depths of this is just incredible. As we think about this, we have to think about this question. How is my mind control? How is my mind control? Am I actively setting my thoughts on things that will help me to be conformed in the image of Jesus? Am I thinking on things that will help me to display his goodness and to display his glory in my life to those around me? How's your mind control? What are you thinking about? What are you setting your thoughts on? Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you so much for how good you are and how wonderful you are to us. So many places we can look around us and be reminded of your goodness and grace. Things that will help mold our hearts. Things that will help us to display your goodness in our lives. I pray that you would help us to set our thoughts on these kinds of things so that we will be more readily responsive to them and that we will be changed, that we can do what we think about so that you will be with us. Oh my goodness, what an amazing truth. So much more here, and yet I had to condense and I hated to do that. But wow, thank you so much, Father. Help us to respond in the right way. Help us to respond. Help us to do the things that we see and think about. In Jesus' name, amen.